It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Continuing the study in the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 16, we're going to begin reading with the 30th verse. Exodus chapter 16, verse 30. Please open your Bibles to that area of the Scripture that we may begin the study in a few minutes. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm Pastor Larry Mulch. I would like to invite you to visit a website that we're starting. It's just there now. Soon it will be... have our Sunday message and then also each one of the radio stations' programs, as well as the Plan of Salvation and our Constitution. So please that you would take a look at it if you would. I hope that you do. ParkviewBibleChurch.org is how you'll find it, ParkviewBibleChurch.org. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. Hope that that was enough time for you now to begin the study. Exodus chapter 16, verse 30. So the people rested on the seventh day, and the house of Israel called the name thereof Manna. And it was like coriander seed, white, and the taste of it was like wafers made with honey. And Moses said, "This is the thing which the Lord commandeth. Fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that they may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness, when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt." And Moses said unto Aaron, "Take a pot, and put an omer full of manna therein, and lay it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. As the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years, until they came to a land inhabited, and they did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Cana. Now an omer is a tenth part of an ephah. And all the generations of the children of Israel journeyed from this wilderness of Sin, after their journeys, according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses, and said, "Give us water that we may drink." And Moses said to them, "Why chide with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord?" And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses, and said, "Wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us, and our children, and our cattle with thirst?" And Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, "What shall I do unto thee, unto this people? They be also ready to stone me." The Lord said unto Moses, "Go on before the people, take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod, wherewith thou smotest the river, take in thine hand, and go. Behold, I will stand before thee there upon the rock of Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come out of it, and there shall come water out of it, that the people may drink." And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And he called the name of the place Massah and Meribah, because of the chiding of the children of Israel, and because they tempted the Lord, saying, "Is the children among us or not?" Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, "Choose us out men, and go out and fight Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand." So Joshua did as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, and one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. Let's begin with prayer. Father, I thank you for your precious word. I just ask that you will use it to your honor and glory. Please help as we begin to understand your living word. And that's exactly, it is your living word. There is nothing for us to understand if it not be for your teaching. The lost, the person that does not know you as their Savior, will try to read, even memorize, your precious book. Try their best to live by it, thinking that they're doing right. Well, morally they may be doing right, but spiritually they're still just as dead as can be, because they need to come by faith to you. And that is a work that you do. You give us the faith, you save us. But dear Lord, we know that we have a responsibility. We need to call upon you for salvation. And you give us the faith. We turn to you, trust in you, then you save us and you keep us. What a wonderful work. And please, that all that are listening either have come by faith to you or will today. Today is the day of salvation. And once we are born again, then we begin the wonderful walk as a believer. We begin to grow, learning more and more about our Savior Jesus Christ and about His Father, that we may walk the right way. And the only way we're going to learn to walk the right way is to search His living Word, the words that the Lord Jesus has recorded for us through these men. Now please, that we will learn His way and will today, and as we continue to study through these scripture verses in the book of Exodus, there is much for us to know. So please guide and lead us now, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. What a wonderful day that we have. Each time that we have to come together is so, and I'm glad that you've joined us today to study God's Word. And we find that nation of Israel is on their way to Mount Sinai and then on their way eventually to the Promised Land. And of course, if you know the rest of the story, you'll realize that is 40 years plus away at this point in time. And that's what happens when we're disobedient. But right now, while we're on our way to Mount Sinai, out of Egypt, across the Red Sea, and there's been great needs for the multitudes of people, and we're looking at somewhere between 1.5 million to 2 million plus people. And so you don't just carry a sack lunch and be gone for 40 years and expect to open that sack lunch each day and be able to feed out of it. Now, God could have done that if He'd have chosen to, and He did something much like that, because you realize that He allowed the clothing, the shoes and the clothes, never to wear out for that 40 years. What a wonderful example of God's power and God's strength and God's love for the people. And so as we begin now and we look at the instructions, we've been through that for the last couple of times, so I'm not going to repeat that again, but it's just one lesson and one repetition, I guess, and that is listen to the Word of God. When God says on the seventh day not to go out, they went out. God was angry with them, because how long will it take? Some simple lesson. They said to gather twice as much on the sixth day. Some did, some didn't. Some gathered more on other days, and it began to stink and produce worms. How long does it take God's people to begin to learn simple lessons? Don't expect God to hand you His power and His knowledge and His wisdom for your daily use until you show Him that you are faithful in the small things. You know, we build our Christian life little bit upon little bit, precept upon precept. And so the building must begin with a strong foundation. That foundation is none other than Jesus Christ. So build your get that foundation by faith. You come by faith to Jesus Christ for salvation. You've laid the foundation. Now let's build on that foundation, not on some other foundation. Any other foundation will be as sand, and the first time the wind and the rain comes away, it'll just wash it away. We want something solid and something good. And it begins by God setting just some simple rules for you. And I'm going to tell you the first rules, and that is to be faithful to His house. You've got to be faithful to His house. That's where it begins. And so I'm going to ask you to do that. And if you're in a body of believers right now, hopefully it is believers. You're just not in some building with some group of people that you, quote, called it a church. If you do not come by faith to Jesus Christ, or maybe you're saved and no one else is, or few in there are saved, check and see what's being preached. Check and see what the doctrine of the church is. And if it's contrary to the Word of God, then inquire why. And if they say, oh, this is just the way it is, then it's time for you to move on. You find a Bible preaching, Bible-believing, soul-winning church that stands by the Word of God. And that's one thing that I really enjoy with the website. When we get it finished, you're going to be able to see the doctrine of this church, because it's clearly stated. We will write, the Constitution is listed at the site. So there's no question what we believe. And you can back it, and it is backed by every statement that we have is backed by the Word of God. I have taught the Constitution, and it's much like teaching a Bible study, because it's just exactly what it is. You take a topic and then you look up all those verses of Scripture, and Scripture confirms Scripture. And I think that you'll enjoy it and see, but it's important that you don't waste your life someplace that's dead. I hope that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I hope that you've learned the simple lessons of being faithful to God's house so that He can begin to use you and give you knowledge and wisdom. I hope that that's in place in your life right now. If it isn't, let's get it taken care of. We find now what they're talking about concerning this manna that they're getting. Not only instructions of the day, but also somewhat what it is. And it's just a perfect food. It is a perfect, perfect diet. Wonderful. Now we look at something that God's going to order Moses to do, and He tells the people to do something. And what that is, He said, now I want you to gather one omer, one helping of this, and I want you to put it in a pot, and it's going to stay there, and it's going to be held. Well, that's all He says right here, and it's going to be, when I brought you out of the, let me back up, fill an omer of it to be kept for your generations, that ye may see the bread wherewith I have fed you in the wilderness when I brought you forth from the land of Egypt. And Moses and Aaron took a pot and put an omer full of manna therein and laid it up before the Lord to be kept for your generations. And the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, lay it up before the testimony to be kept. Now we're going to stop right there for just a second. And if, again, you are familiar with this part of the Scripture, you'll realize where this pot of manna is going to go. It is going into the Ark of the Covenant. We have the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. That's in there's going to be plans given when they get to Mount Sinai. Everybody knows that at Mount Sinai, you know, Moses has this experience, and he comes down with these stone tablets, which is the law, and then he gets angry because of what the children of Israel have done, and he breaks the stones, and he goes back up and gets a second set. That's about all anybody knows about that experience up on Mount Sinai with Moses. But what most don't realize is that they have gathered from God. Moses has gathered the instructions and to build a tabernacle, a place where the God of Israel will meet with Israel. And so there's going to be this tent fashioned building, and it's going to it gives the dimensions of it perfectly. Everything is in place, It's 45 feet long, and it's 15 foot wide, and it's 15 feet high. It's going to have a courtyard around it, and so all those things we'll talk about later on. But the end of this building, in the room that's 15 by 15, one room is 15 by 30, the second room, this is the holy place, is the first room, the second room is the Holy of Holies, 15 by 15. There is only one piece of furniture in there, and that's the Ark of the Covenant. And so the Ark of the Covenant's placed in there. And upon the Ark of the Covenant, we'll find a mercy seat is placed. Within the Ark of the Covenant is this pot of manna. What a wonderful, wonderful promise and hope, this pot of manna that will be placed in there. And, you know, God is the bread of life. And so we need to feed upon Him. And so what a perfect example of how that the people depended upon this manna day after day after day, 7 days a week. They had certain instructions on how to collect it, but they were to depend upon it and eat it 7 days a week. And so are we. We're to feed upon the Word of God. And what a wonderful day that we have to be able to do just that. We have a couple of things that the Word of God should do for our life. Number one, to open the Word of God will bring salvation to your heart. It's the only way that true life will come is through God's Word and God's living Word. And, of course, the Holy Spirit is what convicts our heart, but it's the reading of the Word. It's the hearing of the Word. It's the reason we have the radio programs that folks can hear the Word of God. So we have the salvation. But as you're saved, and back to the picture of this tabernacle and the courtyard, we have a couple of items out in the courtyard. One is a brazen altar. That stands for the cross of Calvary very clearly, and we'll look at that. The next is a brazen laver. And you know, when you first come by faith to Jesus Christ, and all through your Christian life, there will be constantly a need that the Word to wash us, to clean us. And that's an ongoing work until the day we die. Until the day we die or Jesus Christ comes again and we receive our glorified bodies, whichever comes first. But the washing. And then you go into the holy place, and there's a table in there called the table of showbread. And you feed up on the bread. And that's God, represents God's living Word that we feed upon. So the Word of God, it takes care of three things. It takes care of salvation to our heart and our soul that we may be saved. It also then washes us, it cleans us, and it feeds us. And so all those things are necessary in our physical life. We must be born physically. We must wash and stay clean, and we must eat. Well, spiritually, we must do the same thing. But all of our spiritual walk and our spiritual work is surrounded around the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. And the Holy Spirit will teach us and show that. And so this pot of manna goes into the Ark of the Covenant. It is placed in there for a purpose. There's two other things that we're going to find that'll be inside the Ark of the Covenant as we continue. One is going to be this pot of manna. Number two is the staff, Aaron's staff that buds. And number three is the Ten Commandments. Those three things is what goes inside this cabinet in this holy of holy place, the Ark of the Covenant, and so in the room of the Holy of Holies. All that we're going to be studying here in the very near future, so please don't miss the study of that. But here is the first part, the first product, the first thing that goes into this Ark of the Covenant is right here, and God commands it to be gathered up, and it's going to be held. And you know what? It's not going to stink, and it's not going to grow worms at all. It's going to be just fine, and it's going to be just fine for 40 years, because the 34th verse tells us of chapter 16 here, as the Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. The children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan. Now, an omer is a tenth part of an ephah. Now, you know, again, we have talked about that it's could be equal to about 5 pints, some people believe, as far as the volume is concerned. And so now we come to the 17th chapter, Exodus chapter 17, and all the congregation of the children of Israel journeyed from the wilderness of Sin after their journeys according to the commandment of the Lord, and pitched in Rephidim, and there was no water for the people to drink. You want to make a guess here? You want to just out of the wild blue yonder, just make a stab, make a guess at what the people are going to do. Are they going to fall upon their knees and their face and says, God, we need water for ourselves and for our families. We need water for our livestock. Will you please supply our needs? You're giving us food to eat each day. Surely you will meet the need of water. But instead of that, as we do, just as soon as things stop going in our perfect little world, in our perfect little direction, the first thing we do is start to complain. We begin to, the word here is chide with Moses, and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said to them, why chide ye with me? Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord? The people thirsted there for water. The people murmured. Oh, remember that word. How many times have we had this in the Word of God so far since they have left Egypt? Even before they left Egypt, they murmured against Moses for causing them to lose their straw to make the bricks and have to make the same amount of volume. So you see, murmuring is something that is not just common to our day. Murmuring has been something that's been common since the start of time. Every time something goes a little bit wrong, you got somebody complaining, somebody murmuring. And these people were thirsty, so they begin to murmur. And then they continued as they did with the food. Remember, was there no food in Egypt? You know, all the things that they ate in the land of Egypt was not that good of food. It just isn't. It just isn't that good of food. But all of a sudden, now that they're in this new and different situation, now they're thinking that, you know, that wasn't too bad. Matter of fact, it was really good. Matter of fact, I'd like to be back there again. And we do the same thing. We forget how wonderful it is to be a born-again believer. We forget how great it is to be able to come into the house of God and sit and listen to the Word of God. We forget the great wisdom and the great knowledge that God gives us to live by each day. We forget that so quickly. We take it for granted. We take it for granted. And upon taking it for granted, then, it's not long that, of course, we begin to complain and to be dissatisfied instead of realizing the great, great gifts that God has given us. And give Him the praise. Give Him the glory for it. Every day, as you look up, and I don't care if it's raining or if it's the sun shining. I don't care if there's a foot of snow or 4 foot of snow on the ground. I don't care. Praise God, because we have so much to be thankful for. So much to be thankful for. And you say, well, Larry, maybe you do, but I don't. If you got Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have got so much to be thankful for, because there is nothing under heaven and earth except for the name of Jesus Christ that can take away your sin and take away all your sin, not just one, not just part of them, not just a little bit, but took all your sin away and allowed you, gave you the opportunity of eternal salvation that come through the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, my friend, we got so much to be thankful for. And then He doesn't abandon us, as He does never abandon the nation of Israel, abandon them. He continues to show them His power and show them His strength. But not people refuse to turn unto the Lord first. We must turn unto the Lord first. Instead of this murmuring and this whining and this complaining, please, let's be strong in the Lord. Let's look for his power and his strength. And once again here, we find that they chide ye with me. Wherefore do ye tempt the Lord, it says in verse 2. And the people thirsted there for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? Is that your purpose, Moses? Oh my, these people had no means of saying something like that. All that Moses has carried on for them and done for them, and it wasn't Moses, it was the God of Moses. God is the one that's delivered them out of Egypt, has supplied every single need that they have. Never once has been something that they have had need of that they went without. And yet now, when the first trial, a little testing comes here, immediately here they come again. And again, doesn't that sound like today? You know, the first time that things aren't quite right in your fellowship where you go to church, why, you begin to complain about the preacher. You begin to complain about the leadership in the church. Maybe you need to go before the Lord and say, God, they've missed the Word of God. They're not standing upon the truth anymore. Do you want me to go somewhere that does, or is there a purpose for me to stay here to bring these folks back to the right, to the word of God? And so you need to ask the Lord that. But if they refuse to, God will lead you away from that miserable mess and bring you into a house where you can fellowship and have a good time in the Lord Jesus, growing. And it's fun to be a believer. We have a wonderful family here, and I love the family that we have here, and we're all growing and enjoying the Word of God because we stand upon the gospel. And the only fellowship that you have is when it's set upon the gospel and the service that we have as believers in Jesus Christ. The opportunity to have an offering and give into the work of the Lord Jesus. The opportunity to actually serve. That is fellowship. You know, a lot of people think of fellowship just being to sit down and eat, but that's not true at all. It's the work that goes with it. Yes, we sit down and eat and fellowship together, but the real fellowship is continual because of the gospel, the Lord Jesus Christ, the doctrines that the gospel is set upon. So please, that you look to the Word of God and stand upon the truth. These people murmured, we too murmur. And so the people thirst for water, and the people murmured against Moses and said, wherefore is this that thou hast brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? All right, we're going to die. Just listen to that. That's the statement that we're going to die. We're just going to die. There's no question about it. You know, Moses, why'd you bring us here? Why didn't you just leave us back in Egypt? Because we're going to die. And that's the kind of attitude that people today have, and they've had it forever. And so, but we need to change that. And that can be changed when we turn unto the Lord. And so here we find Moses cried unto the Lord, saying, what shall I do unto this people? They be almost ready to stone me. That was the condition that these people were in. And he says, you know, what should I do? And the Lord said unto him, Moses, go ye on before the people, and take with thee of the elders of Israel, and thy rod. That rod was just by Moses' side all the time, wherewith thou smotest the river, and take in thy hand, and go. And I will stand before thee there upon the rock of Horeb, and thou shalt smite the rock, and there shall come water out of it that the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. Now, we've got a lot to talk about when we're talking about this rock, and that's where we're going to begin when we come together next time. The time moves so quickly, but this rock, we talked about the manna being the bread of life and the bread of that we need to feed upon to grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, we now have seen the water. The striking of that rock brings forth living water. The Lord Jesus Christ was struck, nailed to the cross of Calvary, brought us eternal life. What a beautiful picture. We need to depend upon the manna that is brought before us in the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to feed upon it, and we need to drink of this living water and remember all the wonderful works that God has done for us. What a glorious day we have in Jesus Christ. It's important that you know Jesus as your Savior. It's important that you walk each day knowing Him. Please, dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?